Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I am reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, October 17th, 2021. I'm reading on Thursday, October 21st. I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for October 2021. As of October 21st, City of San Angelo and Tom Green County, 24,814 positive cases reported, 17 new positive cases, deaths 453, 293 from Tom Green County and 160 from other counties, 23 currently hospitalized, 307 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker by Diane Pataleo, USA Today Network. Tom Green County has administered more than 109,505 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of October 19th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 1.5% from the previous week's tally of 107,886 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 43% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of October 19th. Methamphetamine investigation leads to federal charges in San Angelo, Brownwood, and others, by Elena Edgen, published October 21st. An operation into methamphetamine distribution across the San Angelo area resulted in 15 people facing federal charges, according to a news release from San Angelo Police. The years-long investigation revolved around an unnamed criminal organization responsible for multiple pounds of methamphetamine distributed across 11 counties in and around the Concho Valley, the release stated. On Tuesday, October 19th, law enforcement arrested seven people on suspicion of conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute methamphetamine less than 500 grams. The people are Matthew Richard Martinez, 29, of San Angelo. Miguel Antonio Alfaro, 22, of San Angelo. Devin Wayne Dale, 33, of Junction. Jonathan Rex Philippi, 36, of Eden. John David Gonzalez, 29, of Brady. Brittany Leanne Crower, 35, of Brady. Ashley Latrice Thackerson, 33, of Baird. The arrests also led to the discovery of firearms, currency, and a large amount of methamphetamine, according to the release. An additional eight people who were in custody on unrelated charges have been indicted on the same charges. They are Ariel Nicole Cunningham, 24, serving in the McCulloch County Jail. Jennifer Marie Hero, 40, serving in the McCulloch County Jail. Stevie Ray Duarte, 32, serving in the Havens unit in Brownwood. Reynaldo Mendoza, 28, serving in the Wallace unit, Colorado City. Joshua Keith Fryer, 35, serving in McCulloch County Jail. Ty Taylor Thomas, 24, serving in the McCulloch County Jail. Daniel Orozco, 37, serving in Tom Green County Jail. Austin Marcine Nichols, 25, serving in Reynolds County Jail. The minimum punishment for this charge is 10 years in confinement and a fine not to exceed $10,000, according to the DA Diversion.USDOJ.gov website. The operation involved San Angelo Police, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and the San Antonio Division Drug Enforcement Administration. County Sheriff's Offices in Concho, Kimball, Menard, McCulloch, and Tom Green assisted along with the Brady Police Department. What we know so far about Isaiah Castillo, a San Angelo man charged in 10 child sex crimes, by Elena Edgen, published October 19th. More details have surfaced about Isaiah Cruz Castillo, a 21-year-old San Angelo man authorities believe may have used a social media app to lure as many as six children into engaging in sexual acts. Castillo has been charged with up to 10 child sex crimes as of Tuesday morning, October 19th. While the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office searches for more possible victims, court documents have alleged some of Castillo's victims were as young as 13 years old. This article will be updated as more information is released. An earlier article about this story will be read later this hour. Man with broken jaw reports assault and robbery at San Angelo apartment. One arrested. By Elena Edgen, published October 20th. A phone charger led to a broken jaw and a San Angelo man's arrest on Tuesday, according to an arrest affidavit. On October 7th, police learned of an aggravated assault at an apartment in the 300 block of Harris Avenue. A man told officers he returned from work and put food on a table when Marcus Don Brown, 42, asked him about where a phone charger was, records state. Brown suddenly punched the man on the left side of his jaw and he fell. Brown stood over the man, pulled out an open pocket knife, and told the man to give him all he had, according to an arrest affidavit. The man had $80 removed from his pocket, then was told to get up, leave, and not come back, or Brown would kill him, records state. He went to a hospital where he was diagnosed with a fracture on his lower jawbone. Police attempted to speak to Brown, who refused to speak to them. Both men had been staying at the apartment with permission from the resident. Marcus Don Brown, 42, was arrested Tuesday night on suspicion of aggravated robbery, a motion to revoke warrant from Travis County, and a fugitive from justice charge in Oklahoma. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $93,500 bond as of 11 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. San Angelo man facing multiple child sex crimes after six victims found. More victims sought. By Elena Edgen. Published October 19th. A San Angelo man is facing multiple child sex charges after he identified up to six children he sexually abused using a social media app, according to an arrest affidavit. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office is searching for any additional victims and is asking parents or guardians of children who may have been sexually abused to come forward and report the abuse. On September 15th, 2021, deputies received a delayed report of a possible indecency with a child by contact. Through an investigation, deputies identified Isaiah Cruz Castillo, 21, and initially arrested him October 7th. He was arrested two more times, the last on Saturday, and remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $550,000 bond as of 11 a.m., according to online jail records. It is believed Isaiah Castillo met most of his victims through the social media platform, a sheriff's office news release stated. Arrest affidavit identified Snapchat as the platform. Six children were identified as victims in the case, leading to two charges of indecency with a child by sexual contact, three aggravated sexual assault of a child, and five sexual assaults of a child. The investigation is ongoing, and investigators are attempting to find and identify any additional victims. If you or your child is believed to be a victim of Isaiah Castillo, the sheriff's office urges you to contact this agency, the release states. People can contact the sheriff's office at 325-655-8111 or contact Sergeant Investigator Gary Cole at 325-242-1060 or Sergeant Investigator Andrew Alwine at 325-242-1084. The Standard Times has requested arrest documents on the charges, some of which had not been filed as of 9:30 a.m. Tuesday. Online safety tips to protect your child from sexual predators. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office issued several suggestions to help parents keep children safe from online sexual predators, which include the following. 1. Discuss internet safety with children of all ages that are online. Many people do not realize that people may not be who they claim to be online. Similarly, many do not understand that someone who seems like a friend online could have a deviant motive. 2. Set limits around who your children are allowed to communicate with. You may consider limiting young children to communicating only with people you have personally met. For older children, you may consider limiting them to communicating only with people they have met in person. 3. Set limits around the kinds of devices and applications your children use. Online child sexual predators often use new technologies to avoid detection by law enforcement. If your child is using an application you have not heard of before, consider researching the application online or testing it out using your child's account. 4. Use technology to protect them. Many devices and programs allow parents to set perimeters around which applications children may use and for how long. Similarly, many of these programs allow parents to see what their children are doing while using those applications. 5. Pay attention to warning signs. Children who are sexually exploited are often embarrassed and hesitant to tell parents or other authority figures about their experiences. Pay attention if your child is withdrawing or changing their mood while internet activity increases. 6. Report suspected abuse. Reporting can help minimize or stop further victimization. If you believe your child has been sexually exploited online, contact your local law enforcement office, your local FBI office, or report online at www.cybertipline.org. San Angelo Law Enforcement and Child Center give tips to protect children from online dangers, by Elena Edgen, published October 19th. In a time where an online presence is almost required for children, the potential for online child predators remains a concern. From apps to texts, there's so much to keep parents and guardians on guard. Officials with the San Angelo Advocacy Center, San Angelo Police Department, and Texas Department of Public Safety detailed prevention, what families should watch out for, and what to do if your child is targeted. Prevent online dangers by talking and setting rules. The most important thing you can do is talk to your child or teen about online safety, said Monica Escobedo, Chief Programs Officer with the Advocacy Center. Along with discussing online safety, local officials offered these tips. Set rules for having a phone, laptop, or computer. Some gaming devices also have messaging services, so watch that. Spot check devices. Have children use their computer or laptop in open areas of the home. Check browser history. Set parent controls. Ask questions, such as who their new friend is, if they feel comfortable, and so on. Online predators often pose as children, so monitor for signs someone is not who they say they are. Trust your gut. If you feel something is not right, chances are you are right. Additionally, Escobedo stated that people should treat children's devices as they would their home. Do everything you can to monitor and protect who your child or teen allows into their screens just as you would their home, Escobedo said. Jeremy Kennedy, sergeant in San Angelo Police Department's criminal investigations, also suggested installing a monitoring app such as Bark and My Mobile Watchdog. These apps make a copy of everything sent and received by the device. Trust but verify, Kennedy said. Once a nude or embarrassing photograph leaves your hands and goes onto the internet, there's no pulling it back and no erasing it. Justin Baker, public information officer for Texas Department of Public Safety, urged adults to pay attention to their children's behaviors. It will always be easier to ask what they are doing than it will be to ask, why did this happen, Baker said. The trio also discussed several apps they have noticed in their investigations that have been used by people to prey on children. Here are the apps. Kick, Snapchat, Instagram, Whisper, Omegle, WhatsApp, any social media with direct messaging, public viewing of pictures or videos, or chat rooms. Ones made specifically for children that are supposed to only have other children on them are specifically problematic because predators will pose as children to target their victims on these programs, Kennedy said. The list of apps is often expanded as forensic interviewers with children's advocacy centers investigate cases. Unfortunately, our forensic investigators learn about new apps from child or teen victims all the time, Escobedo said. Baker also mentioned multiplayer games can be problematic. Predators can sign in and play these games acting as if they are a young boy or girl, befriend your child, and eventually ask your child to do something that would put your child in a vulnerable position, Baker said. Signs a child may be targeted by an online sexual predator. There are several possible indicators a child is being targeted. Here are some of the most common signs, according to local officials. Sudden changes in behavior, withdrawing or distancing, quickly turning the computer or phone screen off or switch the screen when you come around, receiving texts or calls from someone you don't know, receiving gifts such as phones or jewelry, spending more time than usual on devices. These could be simple youth problems, but they can also be indicative of things more nefarious happening online, Kennedy said. Be suspicious of any new items of value that your child has acquired from unknown sources. Baker suggested parents and guardians be aware of new things in their child's life, including new friends. If your child has a new friend, activity, game, or app, and you notice an obvious change in their behavior, it's time to pay closer attention and ask questions, Baker said. When a child suddenly changes their behavior or stops enjoying things they've always enjoyed, it could be a sign they are hiding something or ashamed of something they're doing. What to do if a child is targeted by an online sexual predator? If a child is in contact with an online sexual predator, take the device from the child and call law enforcement. Officials advise parents and guardians to keep the text, images, and videos, which will help law enforcement's investigations. We lose a large amount of evidence and chances to file charges when people react emotionally and either delete things or message the predator and give them time to delete their accounts, Kennedy said. Escobedo added to not question the child and just listen. Do not question your child. Let the authorities and experts do that, Escobedo said. Simply listen to anything your child tells you and try to remember everything you can relay to law enforcement. Here's how you can watch all four episodes of an NBC LX documentary on San Angelo and COVID by Elena Edgen, published October 18th. Update. All four episodes of a mini-documentary series featuring San Angelo in An America Divided by COVID-19 are available to watch online. The series premiered Monday, October 18th on NBC LX and was created by San Angelo native Cody Broadway. Those who wish to view all four episodes can visit the series' official website, lx.com/coronavirus/dying-2-be-wrong-the-price-of-covid-misinformation/44070. Original story. San Angelo will be featured in a four-part mini-documentary series premiering later this October on NBCLX, examining an America divided by COVID-19, according to the network's official website. In a deeply divided Texas town plagued by mistrust of the public health authorities, some say the COVID death toll is a hoax or greatly exaggerated. Others are left picking up the pieces after a loved one passes, the website states. The series, Dying to Be Wrong, takes a deep dive into how COVID-19 has divided the nation and was created by NBC storyteller and San Angelo native Cody Broadway. Now living in Los Angeles, Broadway returned to his hometown roots to interview several San Angelo residents about the coronavirus and its impact on the community. Interviews include Mayor Brenda Gunter, local health authority Dr. James Bredis, Catholic Bishop Michael Siss, Zachary Sutterfield, a San Angelo resident and survivor of deadly San Marcos apartment fire, as well as Standard Times investigative reporters John Tufts and Colin Murphy. Where you can watch Dying to Be Wrong. Dying to Be Wrong, an NBC four-part docuseries detailing the costs of COVID-19 misinformation in San Angelo, will hit NBCLX on October 18th. Watch NBCLX on TV, on Peacock, Roku, Zumo, Apple TV, YouTube TV, Fubo TV, and on Xfinity, Verizon, Optimum, Spectrum, Cox Cable, and select cable systems across the country. San Angelo man arrested after mother reports her son used a gun to threaten her. By Elena Edgen, published October 18th. San Angelo police arrested one person after a man threatened his mother with a gun while she was on a phone call, according to an arrest affidavit. On October 12th, police arrived to a reported domestic disturbance on Champion Lane. A woman said she and her adult son had been arguing about a relative, records state. While his mother was on the phone, her son said, "So you like making them cry?" Pulled a black Glock 27 from his pocket and pointed it at her, according to the affidavit. Officers found the man at a convenience store with the firearm. He told officers he had been at the Champion Lane residence with the gun, but did not point it at his mother. Antonio Jimenez III, 21, was arrested October 12th on suspicion of aggravated assault on a family member with a deadly weapon and unlawful carrying of a weapon. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center Sunday on a $75,500 bond, according to online jail records. San Angelo woman reports overnight assault at job. Police officer injured during arrest. By Elena Edgen, published October 18th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a report of domestic violence at a community living center led to an officer's foot being run over by a vehicle, according to arrest affidavits. On October 8th, police arrived in the 3300 block of Canyon Creek Drive for a reported domestic disturbance. A man told officers he had been wrestling with a woman and no assault was taking place, records state. A woman who had been in a relationship with the man since May 2021 said there was an assault. The man stated she struck herself while they were arguing over a phone. The officer noted another mark on the woman's face, according to court documents. The woman said the man came to the home around 11 p.m., and he struck her on the face and head. She locked herself in a restroom and didn't come out for several hours as the man stayed at the home, according to the affidavit. A witness who works at the center told officers the man and woman were caretaker employees. The witness received a call from a resident stating the woman was working when the man assaulted her, records state. They arrived at the residence and called police. Officer injured as man drives away during investigation. While the officer was investigating, the man started to walk to a vehicle. The officer told him he was not free to leave and was being detained pending the officer's investigation, according to the affidavit. He entered the vehicle, and the officer opened the driver's side door. The man started to drive off, and the officer lost her footing. Then the vehicle ran over her left foot. Her foot started to swell and tighten in her boot, records state. The officer got into her police unit and attempted to pursue him, but was not able to reach him, according to the affidavit. Bobby Josiah Gasca, 22, was arrested October 8th on suspicion of continuous violence against family, assaulting a police officer, and evading arrest with a vehicle. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center the following day on a $50,000 bond, according to online jail records. Early voting has begun in San Angelo. Here's everything you need to know for the 2021 election. By John Tufts, published October 18th. Early voting in Tom Green County began 8 a.m. Monday, October 18th. Here's everything you need to know about where, when, and how to cast your ballot before the election happens in 2 weeks. On November 2nd, Tom Green County residents will flock to the polls and help decide the outcome to 8 amendments proposed to the Texas Constitution, 2 of which were inspired by the coronavirus pandemic, preserving access to loved ones and nursing facilities, and prohibiting local governments from limiting religious gatherings. About 69,036 people were registered to vote in Tom Green County as of Monday, October 18th, according to election officials. Voter turnout has been light so far, according to Elections Administrator Vona Hudson, who said 13 people had voted in person by 11:30 a.m. Hudson said residents new to the area can still vote in Tom Green County using a limited ballot provided they are registered to vote in another Texas county. From rodeo to taxes, here's what's on your ballot. All 8 proposed amendments were approved by at least 2/3 of the Texas House and Senate during the regular session that ended in May. If approved by a majority of voters, the amendments will be added to the document that guides the function of state government, which, after 507 approved amendments to date, is already one of the longest state constitutions in the nation. The amendments include the following. Proposition 1, H.J.R. 143. H.J.R. 143 would add rodeos to the list of professional sporting events that can hold raffles to raise money for charity. Proposition 2, H.J.R. 99. H.J.R. 99 would let counties pay for transportation needs in blighted or underdeveloped areas by taking advantage of rising property values caused by the road projects to pay off the transportation debt. Proposition 3, S.J.R. 27. S.J.R. 27 was inspired by state and local government orders that closed in-person church services and religious gatherings at the height of the pandemic last year. The proposed amendment would expand the freedom of worship section in the state's Bill of Rights to prohibit governments from taking any action that prohibits or limits religious services. Supporters say the measure is needed to protect the right of Texans to freely exercise their religion, particularly because some houses of worship lack the ability for online services and some worshipers lack the technology to shift religious practices to the internet. Opponents say the change would tie the hands of public health officials, limiting their ability to act in future emergencies and placing the lives of other Texans at risk. Proposition 4, SJR 47. SJR 47 would change the eligibility requirements to serve on the Texas Supreme Court, Court of Criminal Appeals, and Intermediate Appeals Courts, clarifying that candidates must be a practicing lawyer or judge in Texas for at least 10 years under a law license that had not been revoked or suspended. The amendment would also require state district court judges to have served as a lawyer or judge in Texas for 8 years, also under a law license that had not been revoked or suspended. Proposition 5, H.J.R. 165. H.J.R. 165 would let the State Commission on Judicial Court, which investigates and takes disciplinary action against judges at all levels, accept complaints against judicial candidates as well. Proposition 6, SJR 19. SJR 19 would give residents of nursing homes and long-term care facilities the right to designate an essential caregiver who could not, under most circumstances, be prohibited from in-person visits. Under a new state law passed to accompany the amendment, visits must be allowed for at least 2 hours a day and include physical contact between the resident and essential caregiver. Caregiver status can be revoked for violating safety protocols, but a resident has the right to immediately designate a new caregiver. In cases of serious community health risks, facilities can suspend in-person visits, but only for a week at a time, and only with approval from the State Health and Human Services Commission. Proposition 7, H.J.R. 125. H.J.R. 125 would let disability-based homestead exemptions on property taxes continue for surviving spouses who are 55 or older when their disabled spouse dies. Proposition 8, SJR 35. SJR 35 would extend property tax breaks already available to the spouse of a service member killed in action to spouses of troops who were killed in the line of duty but not in combat. How to check if I'm registered to vote. You can check if you're registered to vote at the Texas Secretary of State website at teamrv-mvp.sos.texas.gov/mvp/mvp.do. Note, the site will ask to verify information such as name, date of birth, and county of residence. Important election dates. First day of in-person early voting, Monday, October 18th. Last day of in-person early voting, Thursday, October 28th. Election day, Tuesday, November 2nd, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early voting locations, dates, and times. Early voting will take place at the Ed B. and Francis Frink Keyes Building, 113 West Beauregard Avenue, in the election office. Election officials stated the hours for early voting are as follows. October 18th through the 22nd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. October 25th and 26th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. October 27th and 28th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Texas voter ID requirements. Texas is one of 31 states that require photo identification when voting. Acceptable IDs include Texas driver's license issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS. Texas election identification certificate issued by DPS. Texas personal identification card issued by DPS. Texas license to carry a handgun issued by DPS. U.S. military identification card containing the person's photograph. U.S. citizenship certificate containing the person's photograph. U.S. passport. Registered voters who can't meet any of the photo ID requirements can still vote by signing a declaration stating their identity and that they have a reasonable impediment or difficulty for having an accepted photo ID. They must also provide one of the following documents. Valid voter registration certificate. Certified birth certificate must be an original. Copy or original current utility bill, bank statement, government check, paycheck. Government document with their name and an address. Original required if it contains a photograph. If you have questions about your voter registration status or acceptable forms of ID, call the elections office at 325-659-6541. For more information about voter registration, ballot by mail, or polling places, call 325-659-6541. Or email the elections office at elections@co.tom-green.tx.us. San Angelo woman said man walking away with her laundry threatened to stab her. One arrested. By Elena Edgen, published October 18th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a woman confronted someone walking away with her laundry, according to an arrest affidavit released Monday. On Saturday, October 17th, police arrived at an apartment complex in the 4400 block of Green Valley Trail where someone reported a person with a weapon. Officers met with a woman who said a man she did not know had taken some of her clothing from the complex's laundry room, records state. She found a man carrying her laundry and asked if he had taken her clothes. The man dropped the clothes, then pulled out a knife and walked toward her, saying he would stab her, according to the affidavit. Police found a man a few blocks from the complex who had a knife in his backpack. The woman identified him as the person who attempted to stab her, records state. Jonathan Lewis Spiller, 19, was arrested Sunday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $30,000 bond as of 11:45 a.m. Monday. Fright Fest returning to San Angelo Nature Center for Halloween this year by Selena McSherry, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published October 16th. No tricks here, just lots of treats. The San Angelo Nature Center's Fright Fest is back. Like many events last year, Fright Fest was canceled due to COVID-19. Everyone's spooky celebrations looked a little different with strict guidelines and social distancing to prevent the spread of COVID. Though our event may not look like years past, we are excited to host a safe and fun-filled event for families of the Concho Valley. To ensure the safety of families, staff, and our creepy critters, we will not be having carnival games, but will be opting for trick-or-treat stations. The Nature Center will have stations situated throughout the facility, both inside and out. Little ghouls and goblins will be able to gather crafts, coloring books, balloons, toys, and lots of candy. Some of the staff's favorite animals, like Bubblegum, the rat snake, and Cheeto, the bearded dragon, will be at the stations to pet. Guests can visit our creepy crawly booth, set up with roaches, frogs, and spiders. A festive backdrop will be the perfect photo op for the whole family. The Nature Center will also be giving out door prizes throughout the evening. Guests of all ages are encouraged to come out in their favorite Halloween costumes. Fright Fest will be held on Saturday, October 30th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Entry is $3 for adults, $2 for children, and ages 3 and under get in free of charge. Come trick-or-treat with your favorite animals at the San Angelo Nature Center and have a hauntingly good time. Selena McSherry is the Nature Center coordinator for the city of San Angelo. Contact her at 325-942-0121 or email Selena, S-E-L-I-N-A, dot McSherry, M-C-S-H-E-R-R-Y. At COSATX.US. San Angelo Tattoo Parlor offers cosmetic solutions for breast cancer survivors by Colin Murphy, published October 16th. Tattooing intricate, richly colored, vibrant works of art on clients' bodies is nothing new for Garrett Potts. He's been doing it for over a decade. What is new within his repertoire is providing a service that can change a person's life forever. Potts, who has been working in the tattoo industry in San Angelo for 6 years, is now offering cosmetic restorative tattoos for breast cancer survivors. After training with and receiving certification from a renowned restorative tattoo artist in San Antonio, Potts has set up his own studio, Old Town Tattoo, at 528 Orient Street in the Old Town District near downtown San Angelo. Potts said the idea came to him after seeing similar work on social media and said he immediately recognized the need for the service in the community. "I know there are people out there who don't know this is even possible," Potts said. "I know there are people out there who need this. I can count on my hands and feet the number of friends and relatives I've known personally who have died or survived cancer, and I thought, I should be doing this. None of my tattoo friends are doing this. I don't know of anyone around here doing this." Potts, who has done restorative areola tattoos on 5 clients so far, said the overwhelmingly positive reaction when the first few clients saw the results has opened his eyes to the possibilities of cosmetic tattooing and how much impact the practice can have on people's lives and well-being. "I wanted to do this because I've known women who have gone through this and how unwhole they feel," Potts said. the first time I did this was a really emotional experience. My first client was understandably nervous, and then to see someone literally collapse from happiness when they saw themselves in the mirror was incredible. I didn't know tattooing could have that effect on someone. It's amazing and humbling. Adorned with many tattoos himself, Pott said he recognizes the difference between those that are purely ornamental and restorative tattoos that can improve someone's quality of life. "There's a big difference between that work and the tattoos I have," Pott said. "Mine are a luxury. They aren't a necessity. This is a necessity for people, which is why if people can't pay right away, we still do it, because they need it. Maybe they'll come back and get a butterfly tattoo or something because now they feel better about themselves. I've worked with women who have been through multiple surgeries, and this is one appointment throughout their whole journey that they are actually somewhat excited to come to. I get to see the smile at the end of this nightmare." More information about the services offered by Potts at Old Town Tattoo can be found at https://old-town-tattoo-shop.business.site. Cameras in Carlsbad film person stuffing a rag into a fuel tank to set a vehicle on fire. By Elena Edgen, published October 15th. A Carlsbad woman has been arrested after security camera footage recorded someone putting a rag into a gas tank in an attempt to start a vehicle fire, according to an arrest affidavit released Thursday. About 2:45 a.m., Wednesday, October 13th, Tom Green County deputies arrived at the 1100 block of Sterling Street in Carlsbad. A man who had been working in a shop told deputies he noticed a woman try to light his vehicle on fire, records state. He said the woman placed what appeared to be a rag into the fuel tank of his vehicle, an attempt to light it. Surveillance footage showed a person stuffing a shirt into the fuel tank, then using a handheld lighter to ignite the shirt, according to an arrest affidavit. Investigators said the woman told deputies she wanted to set the vehicle on fire due to the man owing her money, records state. Jennifer Lee Lamb, 43, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of arson. She remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $50,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Friday, according to online jail records. Music that heals the soul. A Lakeview mariachi student overcomes hardship with heritage. By John Tufts, published October 15th. Isaac Corrales took a deep breath and blew into his trumpet. A bright metallic sound filled the room, which was decorated Monday with fall leaves, sunflowers, and calacas, skeletons, for Dia de los Muertos. His fingers moved one by one. Notes from a mariachi song worked their way out of the bell of Isaac's horn and into the living room where his grandmother sat listening. "Estoy tan orgulloso de él," I'm so proud of him, said Maricruz Corrales, Isaac's grandmother, who spoke through an interpreter on Monday, October 11th. He had to grow up so quickly. Playing mariachi is more than a way to honor his family's cultural heritage. Music has helped Isaac deal with the pain of losing his mother, who died due to complications from diabetes when he was 11 years old. "It was like therapy when my mom passed away," Isaac said. "Music helped calm me down, and I feel it. I listen to one song, and I feel the emotion behind it." Isaac's love of Hispanic music was fostered at an early age. He had an uncle who played trumpet for a mariachi band, both locally and in Toronto. Then at age 10, Isaac was treated to a performance by the Lakeview High School Mariachi Ensemble while in fifth grade at San Angelo's Reagan Elementary. That elementary school performance changed his life. Isaac went home that day and asked if he could join the Lakeview Mariachi Band. Shortly afterwards, he received a trumpet, a gift from both his grandmother and mother. "When I first held the mouthpiece, I was little, and it buzzed, and so I laughed," Isaac said. "My uncle showed me a few things and said, 'When you get older, you're going to have to work hard and make sure you know what you're doing, because it won't get easier.'" Isaac practiced his new trumpet at home. His mother would listen as he made buzzing sounds on the mouthpiece and labored to produce musical notes. She died, however, before Isaac could play his first concert. "Kids can veer south pretty quickly after an incident like that," Mara Cruz said. Mariachi gave him structure. Wherever his mother may be, she taught him that she would always be with him, and I think Isaac uses that as fuel to move forward. "I started working harder in school thanks to the mariachi program." Now age 14, Isaac lives with his grandmother and is a star performer in Lakeview's mariachi band, which he credits having not only a positive impact on his mental health, but a measurable difference in his academic scores. Before joining the band, Isaac said his grades hovered between C's and D's. "Music showed me that it takes a lot of hard work to get what you want. It let me know that there's going to be things along the road you have to be ready for. I started working harder at school and asking questions and going to tutorials and getting assignments done." Isaac said his grades have improved and he now receives A's and B's. "The effort he puts into his music is something that I know a lot of band directors would envy," said Rosendo Ramos, director of the Lakeview Mariachi Band program. Working hard as a member of the mariachi band has also changed Isaac's horizons, literally. On Thursday evening, October 14th, Isaac and four other mariachi students from San Angelo performed in Washington, D.C. The group was featured after a panel exploring the contributions of Latino professionals in the United States during Hispanic Heritage Month. From picking crops to cultivating minds. At the panel titled From Picking Crops to Cultivating Minds, Lakeview students performed for Latino officials from national television, academics, and print media. They included Arturo Rodriguez, President Emeritus, United Farm Workers Union; Finn Gomez, CBS News, White House producer, National Association of Hispanic Journalists; Valerie Marirez Beasley, Vice President, Finn Partners; Dr. Enrique Figueroa, Professor Emeritus, UW Milwaukee, former admin, AMS USDA. Also among the panelists was Tim Archuleta, executive editor of the El Paso Times, part of the USA Today network, and former editor of the San Angelo Standard Times. The ambassador of the European Union to the United States, Stavros Lambrindes, moderated the panel. "Mariachi is part of our culture," Isaac said. "It's a little crazy to think that we got to go to Washington, D.C. and show people what our culture is all about." While the event was a who's who of Latino professionals and other leaders from around the world, former and current representatives from San Angelo had a central role to play, such as San Angelo artist Rene Alvarado, who was present to showcase Hispanic-inspired works of art. The panel itself was organized by former San Angelo resident Mario Castillo of the Aegis Group, a Washington, D.C. government relations firm. Castillo has been a passionate advocate for improving the lives of minority students, particularly from his hometown of San Angelo. An ardent supporter of the Lakeview Mariachi program since its infancy, Castillo fought to keep it alive back when the program's future seemed in question. In May 2003, he wrote an impassioned letter to the San Angelo ISD school board, urging them to renew the mariachi program's funding. "The mariachi music program is more than the great tradition of one group," Castillo wrote. it is a vehicle for the sharing of a culture that is a vital part of Texas and the American Southwest, a culture that is evolving and that will one day see a blonde and blue-eyed mariachi playing alongside his or her Hispanic counterpart. His words were seemingly prophetic. On Thursday, October 14th, Darren Anthony, a black San Angelo mariachi student, joined in harmony with fellow musicians singing traditional Latino music to world leaders in the nation's capital. "All our voices matter," said Castillo on Friday, October 15th, in a brief message to the Standard Times. School district officials with San Angelo ISD appear to agree. Superintendent Carl Detloth, who was in Washington, D.C. Thursday during the event, had this to say prior to the performance. "Mariachi is a cultural touchstone for our community," Detloth said in a message to the Standard Times. "It, along with other fine arts programs, serves as a conduit that connects generations to celebrate and embrace our rich history in the Southwest. The opportunities afforded students in all extracurricular activities allow students to chase their excellence. The arts work hand in hand with core academics to promote critical thinking, collaboration, and creativity. Mariachi music has helped me a lot," Isaac said, and he plans to continue practicing his trumpet and performing in Lakeview's mariachi band, of which one song is particularly meaningful for him. "Volver, Volver" is a song about returning," Isaac said. "It's saying like you lost or miss someone and saying you want to return to them." A ranchera-style piece written in 1972 about lost love, "Volver, Volver" includes the following lyrics. "Tú tenías mucha razón. You were very right. Le hago caso al corazón. I listen to the heart. Y me muero por volver. And I'm dying to return. Y volver, volver, volver. And return, return, return. A tus brazos otra vez. Into your arms again." No longer bottled up in New Mexico. Woman brings daughter's special drinks to San Angelo. By Elena Edgen, published October 18th. This article has been updated to state the material of the bottles. Bringing a fresh new taste to San Angelo, this upcoming business plans to release cool drinks from Red Bull mixes to refreshing fruits, even old-fashioned ice cream floats. While Stephanie Johnson has only been in San Angelo for a year, she is excited to bring Bottled Up, 3304 Knickerbocker Road, to the area. Her drinks are inspired by her daughter's business, the Cappuccino Coffee House in Hobbs, New Mexico. "My daughter started a coffee house about 12 years ago, and 3 years ago she started making drinks, Red Bull, lemonades, fruits, teas, made to order in plastic bottles," Johnson said. "Her business tripled, and people from Brownwood and Big Spring make the drive there." When Johnson moved to San Angelo, she initially planned to open a food truck. Instead, her daughter recommended selling the popular drinks. "It's mainly bottled drinks with healthy and not-so-healthy options," Johnson said. "We'll have old-fashioned milkshakes using Henry's ice cream, old-fashioned floats, some smoothies, fraps, and yogurt parfaits." Johnson said her favorite drinks are the spicy sweet and sour pop and pickle lemonade and the cucumber coconut mint water. She is also excited to use Henry's ice cream, which is based in Plano, Texas. "We're going to be huge on customer service and people getting their money's worth," Johnson said. "I hope they like us." The store will be open Tuesday through Sunday for drive-through and pickup orders with occasional specials. People can follow Bottled Up on Facebook, Instagram, and bottledupsanangelo.com to see specials and updates. Johnson is also looking to hire part-time employees. For applications, contact Bottled Up through social media. San Angelo man arrested after neighbors threatened with gun. By Elena Edgen, published October 15th. Police arrested a man after he said he planned to kill his neighbors and pointed a gun at them, according to an arrest affidavit released Wednesday. On October 7th, police arrived to Rio Grande Street for a call of aggravated assault and a person with a gun. Two people told officers they said hello to the neighbor's daughter. Then the neighbor entered their property with the gun, records state. The man told the neighbors to leave his daughter the hell alone while pointing a white or copper handgun at them, according to the affidavit. Police spoke with the man who admitted to doing this. He said the neighbors did drugs and said hi to his daughter, attempting to start trouble, and he planned on killing them, according to court documents. The man's daughter, whose age was not given, told officers the neighbors did say hello, but not in a derogatory way, records state. The neighbors said they believed the man would shoot them. Sidney Ray Dickens, 70, was arrested October 8th on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon by threats. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center the next day on a $30,000 bond. San Angelo man arrested after child makes outcry of sexual abuse, by Elena Edgen, published October 15th. A child's outcry of sexual abuse in San Angelo led to the arrest of one man Saturday, according to an arrest affidavit released Tuesday. On Friday, October 8th, the abuse was reported to police by someone who received a message from a 13-year-old child through social media, according to the arrest affidavit. The child told investigators a 23-year-old man touched and bit them. They also said they do not feel safe around the man and are afraid of being sexually assaulted by him, records state. In an interview with investigators, the man said he did touch the child inappropriately, according to the arrest affidavit. Demetrius Donyea Sewell, 23, was arrested October 9th on suspicion of indecency with a child by contact. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $30,000 bond as of 8:15 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Update: two Stripes employees injured by bullet fragments during accidental shooting. The story has been updated after more information was released by the San Angelo Police Department. Published October 14th. One person has been detained after two people were injured during an accidental shooting at a convenience store early Thursday afternoon. On Thursday, October 14th, police scanner traffic reported a shooting at a Stripes convenience store on 19th Street and Armstrong Street. Two people were shot after a gun fell out of a bag, according to scanner traffic. Acting Lieutenant Daniel Williams with the San Angelo Police Department said the shooting was accidental. A spokesperson with the police department released more information about the shooting later that afternoon. At 12:45 p.m. Thursday, seven first responder vehicles, including police and ambulances, arrived at a Stripes convenience store to find two female employees who were injured from a single fragmented bullet. The injuries were non-life-threatening, a news release stated. Investigators learned another Stripes employee had an accidental discharge of a 9mm handgun. Police said the bullet struck the floor of the business and fragmented. Pieces of the bullet struck one female victim on the back portion of both her legs. The other female victim was struck by the fragmented bullet on her left arm and her legs as well. Ambulances transported both female victims to Shannon downtown, where they were treated for their injuries and later released from the hospital, a news release stated. Police said they learned Stripes employee Cameron Ransom, 22, accidentally discharged a firearm while inside the store, according to a news release. At 1:17 p.m., a reporter saw police escorting what looked to be a person in a blue polo shirt adorned with the Stripes logo in handcuffs. Officers could be seen placing Ransom in the back seat of a patrol vehicle, which left the convenience store parking lot at about 2 p.m. Ransom was taken into custody for city warrants, as well as discharging a firearm within city limits, a news release stated. Detectives with the Criminal Investigations Division advised that additional charges for Ransom may be forthcoming. And now here is the column by Allison Watkins. Tips on digging and dividing plants in your garden Special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published October 16th. The best time to work on digging and dividing plants in the fall is a few days after a good rainfall, when the ground is still soft but not muddy. Divide spring-blooming perennials such as irises, daylilies, and crinums now to help keep them blooming and thriving where they are growing, and to be able to share with others. Plant division is best done in the season opposite of blooming, so wait until spring to divide fall bloomers like oxblood lilies, mums, and spider lilies. If circumstances require dividing in the blooming season, it is still worth doing, but they will be set back and miss a year of blooming. Pass-along plants are a fun part of gardening and are a fun way to get to know people in the neighborhood and share a love of plants. Also, division helps keep clumping perennials in better shape for good health and flowering. After several years, many perennials become overgrown and crowded and won't bloom as well. Division refreshes and allows them to flower more abundantly. Division is beneficial every few years for many perennials, but some can go longer. Just divide when performance starts to decline. To divide clumping perennials, use a shovel to dig them up and lift them from the ground. But be sure to get stems and roots from healthy, vigorously growing parts of the plant. Some plants can be pulled apart by hand. For others, just cut the roots into smaller sections with a sharp knife. If the stems and roots are woody and tough, use only the more tender shoots from the outer part of the clump for replanting. Discard the center of the clump if it looks weak and is woody. For irises, divide into individual rhizomes. Retain at least a few inches of rhizome and one fan of leaves. Cut the fan about halfway down. Have the new planting site ready to go if possible. Mix compost into the soil ahead of time. Plant immediately and apply mulch afterward. If the divided plants can't be put into their new permanent spot right away, they can be healed in with just means to temporarily plant in a holding bed or a container with potting mix until ready to go to the new location. The cool fall weather and softer ground after rainfall also makes it easier to work on all sorts of fall landscaping tasks. Now is a good time to finish cleaning up freeze-damaged trees and shrubs, plant cool-season vegetables and flowers, and transplant any volunteer trees that need to be moved to a better location. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.